welcome back to the Great and Terrible AHS. We're here to talk about episode 3 of 1984. And folks, we have no scary villains. We forgot. We're going to continue to forget for the rest of this episode. Welcome to Slash Dance, where I guess we're going to do a bunch of twists. I'm joined by Ms. Shadow Lovely and Slowbee Pay Team.
Hey. Hello.
They definitely thought these twists were like, I would care.
They were hoping that you would care, at least. Like, there's a lot of, that's the thing is, like, I don't know. Like, it's one of those things where if you start to do, this is maybe a personal opinion. This might not be, like, a valid criticism of specifically American Horror Story, but this is how I feel personally. When you start to do too many twists, like, in a row, and I would say we've definitely crossed that threshold since we're only on episode 3 and there's going to be, like, 4 twists in this episode, that it becomes almost like a parody, that it's like a joke. It has to be a bit at that point, because if it's just all twists, it's not twists. You know what I mean? You're doing a bit.
It's very Gutsman's Ass. It's, yeah, where it's just the same thing happens 30 times in a row to the point that you're just expecting it to be another twist, almost as like a comedy bit. Yeah.
That is, by the way, literally has been a comedy bit. You know what I mean, too?
Yeah.
Like, it really has. Like, that's a thing, like, people have done in the past before, but, like, we're going to keep doing it here because, you know, except unironically and, you know, like, all sincerity. And it's very, very.
Also, with, like, a lot of characters that we have almost nearly zero backstory on.
Yeah.
Like, one sentence. So it's just like, da-da. And I'm like, it's not that big of a twist. This lady.
Yeah. Because at this point, like, the thing is, they're doing the twists, like you said, too soon into the series. So, like, they're not even twists. It's just, like, information we're being given. And it's like, oh, okay. Like, I guess I believe that character is that and not what I would have expected them to be, question mark.
And, you know, I hate to editorialize, but I will. They're not good twists either, where even if they did come at the right time, I'd be like, oh, wow, I didn't see that coming. It's more just kind of like, oh, really?
I guess.
You know?
Yeah, like, or the reveal is just really, like, nothing. Like, the Jonas reveal of, like, Jonas being a ghost where he just gets stabbed by Richard Ramirez, and he's like, oopsies, I'm not dead. And it's like, oh, well, we're kind of dealing with a lot of other stuff right now. Can we handle this later? Can we deal with, like, Jonas's thing later?
Liz, that is a perfect summary of this episode is we're kind of already dealing with a lot of stuff right now. That is, like, really this episode in a nutshell is just like, hey, there's a bunch of guys who are impersonating the most famous killer of all time. And I'm like, I don't have enough hours in the day to process how wrong this is. Can we just move on? And the answer is no. They're going to beat us over the fucking head with all the other things they're adding this episode.
And new stuff will happen too.
Just to foreshadow one of my complaints, some of you might be hearing that and saying Richard Ramirez had a fan club, which is like, no, amazingly no. It's something else, which is like, what the fuck? But, you know, all right.
God, yeah. In case you guys forgot, because I do, this will be like a reoccurring theme through this episode that I want people to pay attention to. We ended the last episode with two separate groups of people. Group one, actually, in my notes, they're group two because they are presented in the reverse order in this episode. But group two, who was group one in the last episode, which is Brooke, Ray, Chet, and Rita. And then group one, who is Xavier, Trevor, and Montana. Because of the way that the episode starts, they've been swapped, but we will still refer to them as Group 1 and Group 2, as they were previously named. They were looking for keys. They went separate directions to look for two sets of keys, one for Rita's car and two for Trevor's motorcycle. And then they both got, like, at the very end, they're both sets of people are holed up in their respective cabins, with this door being beat on by two separate people who are alleged to be the two killers in our episode, who just have really good timing. They just happen to both start banging and wailing on the door at the exact same time. Maybe these guys should team up instead of being enemies. Who could say? Also, on that note, it is important to remember that right before that, like literally right before that, what is her name? Margaret
Yeah, like, turned the power off.
Yeah, kind of seduced Richard Ramirez and like
right.
yeah.
made him
yeah.
her little buddy who's like supposed to go kill Mr. Jingles for her. But like he made a promise that he wouldn't yeah. kill anybody else. So what happens next is really confusing. Because yeah. he's definitely not going after Mr. Jingles like he promised yeah. his new girlfriend mom, question mark.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's where we left
something
off.
Something else later was really confusing with that too, because I didn't put it together yeah. right now. But yeah, okay,
Richard
sorry.
Ramirez
yeah.
cannot yeah. keep his eye on the ball. I would just like to right. say that Richard Ramirez is not objective focused. He cannot focus on one objective. He gets side quested
you know
very
what?
Easily.
I'll say it. I think this Richard Ramirez guy is a little bit troubled.
Yeah,
he's got some problems.
not in a way that you can like sympathize now, with him or anything. Just like he's not doing so good.
He's bad at his job.
I've got yeah. two reasons to distrust this Richard Ramirez. He's a killer and maybe a little unreliable too. Hmm.
Yeah, like kind of extremely unreliable.
And he's stinky.
Also, I don't know if we did we say what the name of the episode was? Slash Dance? Did we intro that?
Yeah, I mentioned it passively.
I'm like thinking about it, like retroactively. Does anything happen in this episode that like deserves
references Flashdance?
Yeah, that like deserves that as the title?
No.
Okay, because I don't even remember anybody like dancing at any point or like music being involved or there's no like musical numbers. Like Richard Ramirez does come out of the fog and he's like, oh, because he always comes with his own like sound effects for some reason. But like other than that, there's not really anything that's like even remotely related to music or dancing. So
I'm thinking like maybe one of the random licensed songs in this is happens to also be in Flashdance.
There
That's
are
like
a lot
the
of
only
them.
Thing I can think
there
of.
Are a lot
like
of
five.
Them.
Yeah, and none of them really serve a purpose other than like, hey, remember this banger
okay.
from the 80s?
No.
It reminds me a lot of the Grand Theft Auto Vice City soundtrack. Yeah, honestly, actually, where it's just kind of like, this is the 80s. You like this shit, right? Gobble it up.
Yeah, I would say there are four of them that have literally absolutely nothing to do with the scene that's happening, and then there's one that's so on the nose that it's like, okay, all right, relax. I get it. You got the license to this song, whatever. Okay, so now that we've like reminded you guys where we are picking up, both groups are in their respective cabins getting harassed by someone unknown on the other side of the door. It's dark as fuck, and it's hard to see anything that's going on in either of the scenes.
And Richard Ramirez is pounding on the door, and like I try not to roast people for their physicality too much because I'm bigger than a regular guy and I recognize this, but Richard Ramirez in this show is, I would say, a regular guy to slightly smaller than a regular guy.
Yeah, pretty slight. He's a pretty slight man.
If he was pounding on the door, I'd be like, hey man, you're gonna hurt your hands.
Yeah.
And like
yeah.
And on the other hand, Ray, Chet, and Rita, and Brooke, which again, Chet, I would like to remind everyone real quick, Chet is an Olympian on cocaine and steroids.
Yeah.
Like, incredible. The idea of Chet doing anything other than kicking the door to the other direction and knocking this fucker out instantly like it's a Splinter Cell mission, like, absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
He should just take this guy out and throw him off a mountain.
I would like to also I would like to revisit that in that group is Brooke, who has beaten Richard Ramirez's ass twice now
yeah,
by herself. She has whooped his ass two times by herself.
What's with the boat oar? That was
yeah.
sick.
Like, honestly, she could probably 1v1 him a third time, but there's fucking four of them. And, like, they're still like, oh no. He's gonna get in. And I'm like, if you all rushed him, you could probably just fucking kill him, honestly. I'm like, also, you're holed up in, like, the medical cabin or whatever. Like, you can't arm yourself. You have all this preparation time. You have advantage. He's coming into your home territory. You literally could all just wait along the sides of the door. So when he comes through, beat the fuck out of him with some, like, I don't know, break the legs off some chairs. You can make a weapon.
I was just gonna say, run him down with a bunch of scissors. Like, yeah. There's, like, medical scissors for, like, cutting tape and bandages and shit. Like, even if you don't have, like, a scalpel or something. Like, yeah, four people just running me down with scissors. I'm out, dude. I'm going. They're going to kill me, brother.
Yeah. They've got options. They're just not, like, exercising any of them for, like, no good fucking reason.
That's group one. I would like to say group one that has four people, one of which has already beaten Richard Ramirez's ass twice, and the other who is an Olympian on cocaine, and then a third man who also is like a gym rat, and then Rita, who's like a nurse and like pretty smart. That group is the one that's like, oh no, the smaller of the two serial killers is going to come into here.
Rita acting like this is going to be extra insane in like 20 minutes as a heads up. Like, Rita being this coward about it is nuts.
Yeah, and is also going to be very confusing. Again, there's going to be so many twists, and we're going to we are almost certainly going to have to split this episode into two parts because there's so many twists and all of them are going to be confusing and be like, well, wait, hold on. That doesn't make any sense. It's not like clever. It's just like, wait, that doesn't... But okay.
It doesn't work. Yeah.
Like, to the point like, that I will just say it. Later on, Rita's going to be nasty. So the idea that Rita is being like sheepish about serial killer right now is crazy. Because later on, it's going to be revealed that she was like so into serial killers.
Going to be nasty and has something on her person right now that could easily like one shot the guy who's breaking in the door right now. Could easily just put him down. I'm just saying.
Right. Gonna hit him with my horse paralyzers.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, so this group, instead of being like, yeah, we'll just kill him when he comes into the room, they're like, we gotta barricade the door. One of, like, I assume 30 doors to this giant, like, medical facility. And they do. They barricade it. And then I'm not really sure why Richard Ramirez, like, even came after this group, because it's not like the...
Oh, yeah.
I guess because Brooke's in that group, but how would he know? How would he know that she was in there? Satan, I guess? I don't know.
Satan told me. Yeah. Satan told me Brooke would be in there.
Satan told me she would be in group one instead of group two, and fortunately, he was right. And because they only block one entrance, the door, he just comes in through the window, but they do something very funny, which is push him back out the window.
It's like a gif of like of Luffy pushing a zombie down into a grave and just being like, no, we're not doing that. Like, he breaks the window and starts trying to like climb through the window like over the broken glass. It's almost like, I don't know, give him a second, then kick him back out. He'll probably get cut up.
What's the meme of Danny DeVito push the guy with the 2x4? I go, no, you don't. You know,
like, yeah, that's what I thought too. I was like that one Always Sunny in Philadelphia thing where he's just hitting him with the 2x4. Yeah. Like, and he just is like, he's like a cat that ran outside, and then the owner just like pushes them back inside, like, no, you're not going out, like, get back in there. And Rita's like, okay, whatever, I got the keys we came here for. And then Chet's like, no, I don't want to go outside. And I'm like, you're the guy who's the Olympian on cocaine, what do you mean? And finally, Brooke comes to the conclusion of what I just said, which is that there are four of them and one of him. But unfortunately, Ray and Chet are God's dumbest motherfuckers and have interpreted this as we should split up four directions because he can't kill all four of us at the same time.
So was Ray was like really into the idea of running away, and Chet just kind of gave him the like, are you fucking stupid? What do you mean? But Ray is just like so insistent on it that everyone's just like, okay, I guess Ray's gonna run off on his own. Which,
Ray is immediately
like, we had a longer conversation on this as opposed to I'm gonna book it, which
I need everybody. I know that like in episode one, like it was just like every 30 seconds or so, Chet was like, I'm in the Olympics. Just like he would always find like a time to like complain about the Olympics. I need everybody to just buckle in right now and prepare yourself that every roughly 5 minutes or so, Ray will be like, I'm leaving. I'm leaving. It doesn't matter what the situation is. He's going to be like, I'm leaving. Goodbye. I'm leaving. Goodbye. He does it like 5 times in this one episode.
So please forgive me if this has been established before, but I feel like they never really played up that like Ray was like a cowardly asshole who will throw other people under the bus too much before.
No. Mm-mm. He was like kind of the nice guy. No. Like he was the nicer of the two meatheads. Like he was the one who wasn't on steroids.
So it's not just me then. Good. Okay. Because like,
Also, him like running away and deciding to give up the one group that like still trusts him and will work with him is like insanely out of character for what they're going to reveal later as well. Like, and not only does this Rey not make sense given what we've seen in the past, this Rey also doesn't make sense with what we're about to see of Rey in the future. This behavior, it's like one of those things of usually I'm like, oh, okay, they probably got their script a lot out of order and they forgot that like this character doesn't really turn that corner until a little bit later. No, this running away shit and abandoning all of his close friends makes no sense at any point, especially because the character trait they're going to give him is like, will do anything to defend his friends to a massive fault, you know?
it's very bizarre, and it's going to be played as like another twist or whatever. Chet, like, rightfully is like, no, dude, what the fuck do you mean split up? Like, that's fucked up. And then Rey's like, well, it's Darwin, man. It's the survival of the fittest. I can outrun two of you. And I'm like, listen, I was homeschooled. I didn't get to learn evolution because dinosaurs are a tool of the devil meant to test your faith in Jesus.
That's right. Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. I don't think that was Darwin's pitch. I don't think that if you run faster than a serial killer, then your friends deserve to die is like what survival of the fittest means.
No,
I don't
think. This is a stupid thing they say about bears, where it's like, you can't outrun the bear. You just have to run fast than the slowest person, ha ha, you know? But they're like taking it at face value here, where it's like, I have to outrun like all of you. Richard Ramirez can't kill, like, but he's not a bear, you know? Yeah. Like, he's a, you know, that doesn't really make sense, but.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, like, a hungry bear just wants food, right? It doesn't really care about who it takes. But, like, Richard Ramirez is, like, a real man, regrettably, with agency.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he is a real guy.
Yeah.
So it's extra wild to just be like, he's like a bear or a ghost. He just does shit.
And he will only pick one person and then give up. Like, once he's like a ghost in Phasmophobia. Once he's got one person, he's like, okay, I'm good for a little while. Like, I'm good. Right, I'm just going to chill.
I wish the Phasmophobia ghost would just let me hit him with a stick and be like, skedaddle you.
Yeah. Honestly. I mean, okay, I'll give Richard Ramirez one thing. He is not very good at keeping his, like, focus on an objective at any given point in time. He is, however, quite resilient in the fact that he keeps getting his ass beat and will not give up. He's got, if nothing else, tenacity.
I'm gonna file this under you do not have to, in fact, hand it to him.
you don't have to hand it to ISIS, yeah. Okay, the fictionalized Richard Ramirez. I'm not sure the real man was this stupid. I'll be honest, he was pretty dumb, but I'm not sure he was this dumb.
But keep in mind, too, that's not how even fictional Richard Ramirez is. This is what Rey is thinking all serial killers are like, because, like, this is his logic behind it, right? Where it's like, no, Rey, that doesn't make sense. What are you doing? But
yeah, Rey has the same, like, thought process I do when I'm playing, like, Uno against one of my friends or a group of my friends, which is, I don't have to win. You just have to lose. Which is fascinating. Yeah. And, like, they call him, like, a coward, but no one is like, hey, instead of running, why don't we fight him? And you might be thinking, oh, it's, like, set up to be, like, a campy, like, slasher flick. No one is going to have that reaction because the characters need to be stupid for the plot to forward. No, everybody in Group 2 is smart. Everybody in Group 2, like, has a brain cell and will like, immediately come to that conclusion against the bigger of the two serial killers. Meanwhile, Group 1 is like, oh no, a twink with a knife.
This is the problem with American Horror Story, like, because it tries to be very, like, not, I don't know if meta is the right word, but they like to, like, kind of have, like, modern jokes and twists on things, and why don't people talk like that? So you end up with, like, characters who aren't horror movie stupid, but now they're in, like, a stereotypical horror movie, so it just doesn't work anymore. So it's like,
and they're now stupid.
They forgot to put on the make them dumb gas.
Yeah,
temporarily.
And they're dumb like when the plot needs them to be dumb instead of dumb all the time. Because that's the thing is, like, even in, like, what people would consider to be, like, schlocky horror movies, it's understood that, like, oh, that character is dumb all the time because the plot needs them to be dumb. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a movie. If they had common sense, we wouldn't have a movie. This is not that. This is a case of they're dumb sometimes, but not all the time. And they're dumb at the time that you think people would be locking in. That's the thing is, like, I think a lot of the time horror directors or whatever, and I'm in this specific circumstance, referring to the American Horror Story writers, though horror is probably very loosely being used here. I think they give maybe like too much credit to like, oh, well, people act irrationally when they're scared. And I'm like, yeah, some people do. But if you're like me, like when you're scared, you lock in. When you're in a crisis situation, a lot of people lock in instead of like freaking out and like losing their like head about it. So you could just as easily dismiss the, oh, it's because they're scared, like they're under a lot of stress. You could just use the reverse and be like, okay, well, why wouldn't, like, the two characters who are super strong, like, why wouldn't they just lock in?
Or why wouldn't they freak out, comma, violent? Like, yeah. If one of the characters is known to have a violent, you know, edge, maybe he just loses it and kicks Richard Ramirez really fucking hard.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, use some of that roid strength to, like, I don't know, roundhouse kick him. We don't know why you were going to the Olympics, but make it something that
pommel this
beats
man's horse. That's
yeah.
Right.
But that's the thing, though, like, in good writing, like, in a better horror story, right? Chet's role is going to be to roid rage against Mr. Jingles just to show how strong Mr. Jingles is. And it's, oh, shit, we can't, like, just fuck with this guy because, you know, he's, like, Jason Voorhees or the analog, right? But here, it just doesn't make sense, and it's not what's going to happen. So, whatever.
Also, ugh, I am just, like, coming to this thought right now on my own. I don't have a note about it or anything. But, like, I am realizing also because they are using Richard Ramirez as a fictional character slash slasher character. In the same vein as like a Ghostface or a Jason or a Michael, that serial killers don't like do this. Serial killers don't like a real serial killer
right.
Doesn't like chase down a group of teens and like stab them to death. They usually isolate a victim or like lure a victim to a location, and then that's how they usually kill most of their victims. Serial killers, parentheses real, aren't just like running down big groups of people willy-nilly. That's I don't think
right.
ever happened in the history of like ever. So to have real life man Richard Ramirez be like, actually, I'm a video game character, and I love taking on huge groups of people at a time, instead of what I did do in real life, which was isolate women and vulnerable elderly people. I'm actually an action hero who can take down huge groups of people at a time. I mean, they do have him getting his ass beat by, like, a 90-pound woman, but still.
Yeah, and he also doesn't do that, because, like, okay, so immediately Ray decides, like, I'm running away, baby, it's run time. And then, so he does start cooking out the front door, which, so apparently there is a front door and they did not barricade it, which is crazy considering they just were barricading every entrance, but there is just one that's open, I guess. Richard Ramirez kicks it down and walks in and is like, Satan told me it's chicken nugget time, or whatever the fuck he says. Doesn't matter. And Ray, of course, runs directly into him and is like, aw, beans! And,
there's nothing we can do! He's in the hallway! There's nothing we can do!
Yeah, and he, like, gets on top of Ray, and to be clear, he is fully grounded now. Like, he's on the ground against Ray with, like, a fairly small knife out. And he's not even, he's not stabbing Ray to death. He's just kind of, like, pawing at his arms with a knife. Like, he's kind of like, ooh, I'm gonna get you. It's slashing time. I'm the Night Slasher. That means all I know how to do is slash attacks. Here I go. He just keeps slashing at his arms, like, not really doing too much.
Block this overhead. Block this overhead, but real.
Yeah, like just sitting there, like plinking away. And don't worry, the show will also forget that Ray's arms are all slashed up. Like,
yeah.
Very quickly, it will just forget that this has happened to him.
Yeah, he has bigger problems. He'll have bigger problems in like 5 minutes. It's fine.
Yeah, and so the other three, Rita immediately goes, well, he said three lucky people, let's go. And then they run out, which is crazy because Richard Ramirez is having a hell of a time killing Ray. Right now, like, I can't slash him enough.
Oh no, he's using his arms to block me. How could this have been predicted in any way?
What the hell?
Yeah.
So they start running out, and then Chet goes like, oh, wait, right, you know what? This is stupid. And then just, like, kicks Richard Ramirez off of him easily because he's an Olympian on cocaine. and then grabs Ray and is like, move it, Darwin, it's go time. Richard Ramirez is the easiest guy to beat up. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Do you know that Richard Ramirez is susceptible to all forms of damage?
And doesn't know how to block.
Night slasher, but he takes full damage from blunt as well. You can just hit him.
Yeah, doesn't know how to parry, know how to dodge, doesn't know how to block, has an extremely weak melee that has an extremely short range. Like, he has a really loud, like, radius. You know he's coming from a large distance away. Like, he has a Satan radius.
He's got a terror stank.
Yeah.
Really, it undermines this whole thing that we've seen happen, though, now, right? Because it's like, oh, shit, Richard Ramirez is, like, you know, coming to get us. Oh, no, never mind. We can't just kick his ass. It's like in one of the scary movies with the skeleton. It's like, it's not a threat, and that's played as, like, a joke, but it actually happened here. That's, like, a serious thing.
Well, that's the other thing is, going back to, like, they're making Richard Ramirez, like, a Jason or a Michael or a Ghostface, like, it doesn't work because the reason why people are usually scared of, like, a character is in a horror movie is because they have witnessed that character do a murder already. They watch them do a murder. Or, like, they've almost been murdered. But, like, for all they know, this is just a guy. Like, no one knows who the fucking Night Stalker is. It's not like he's a household name yet. He hasn't even done his murders yet. He's just a dude. So it's like, okay, a dude's trying to break into our cabin.
Right,
And the Mr. Jingles team, at least, like, they saw a guy get a post driven through his head and nail him to a wall, right? Like, that's a pretty big display of force. So if they're, like, a little concerned, like, okay, this guy might have, like, bear strength of some variety. The other group, it's like, that's just Richard. He's just Richard.
Yeah, he's
just Richard. He's
a guy who tried to kill Brooke. He's a guy who tried to kill Brooke twice and failed, which is, like, not that scary. If you, like, you told me, like, hey, that's Daniel. He's tried to kill so-and-so two times and not done it. I'd be like, okay, well, let's beat his ass, I guess, until he stops trying to do that.
Just pretend it's another Richard, you know. Pretend it's Rich Low Tax Kayanka. He's that physically threatening.
No.
Like, he is that he's as physically threatening as if Low Tax showed up, which would mostly be like, get out of here, man. What are you doing?
Look, let's get a German director in here, okay? You're all set. Boom, bye. You know? So.
Yeah, Uwe Boll would beat the shit out of Richard Ramirez.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So they then all run away after successfully easily defeating Richard Ramirez by blocking and then kicking him one time.
He just dips, by the way.
We cut to the other team.
I do want everyone to know that, A, the plan for this group, Group 1, was to all meet up at the parking lot where the car was, like, whoever the lucky three were, according to Ray, was whoever got there first. Like, they were just going to leave as a group. And B, I would like to point out that Richard Ramirez gets his ass beat here for a third time and then, like, kind of just fucks off for the rest of the episode. I genuinely don't think we see him until the very last scene when he is not even a little bit close to the group that he just encountered. He just gives up entirely on this group and is like, well, guess I am going to go wander around the camp for a while and be sad about getting my ass beat for a third time. I'm still a little fucked up about ghosts, too. I'm still a little sad about ghosts. I don't know why, but that really makes me sad.
It's time for us to move to our other bit of coincidental good timing with the other group. Xavier, Montana, and Trevor, who were chased out of the shower, but wait, wasn't Ray with them at the shower? I guess
they split up again, and this is the group that's trying to get the motorcycle keys. They're in the regular cabin, I think. The boys' cabin. I think they're in the boys' cabin.
They're in the boys' cabin because that's where Trevor's keys are. You got it. And so in the other group, they're being harassed in the cabin by a big man banging on the front door, and Trevor just tells Xavier right away, hey man, I'm like a pretty jack dude on a bunch of cocaine and beer. You're a pretty jack looking dude on cocaine and beer. We can fight this guy, which is like the most reasonable thing anyone has ever said. Finally, I have turned around on Trevor. He's a little bit of a poon hound, as they would say, but he's he knows when he can fight.
Yeah. I'll go far as to say he kicks ass this episode. Trevor kind of kicks ass this episode. Like, he's not the smartest in terms of like making sure that his target is correct, but like, he's got the spirit. He's at least got the spirit. I'll give him that.
Here's the deal. When it comes to likable characters this season, beggars can't be choosers, okay? So, you know, like, Trevor's fine. All right, there.
Yeah. If he was in a cast of characters with other likable characters, he would be, like, mediocre at best. Right now, him and Xavier and Montana are, like, the only three characters with any personality and also any common sense. So they are, by, like, I guess, exclusion, the best characters in the group. It's truly, truly baffling. And remember, Xavier is, like, crying because he blames himself because all of the people are there because of him, because he invited them to be, like, counselors at this group. And also Blake, or whatever the fuck his name is, the porn guy, he's dead and he was only there because of Xavier. So Xavier's having, like, a crisis because a lot of people have died because of him. And that will be a recurring thing, is, like, Xavier is the empathy boy, who will be very, like, empathetic towards everybody. And he's kind of, like, a little sad and soft-spoken. He's just, like, a little guy who's, like, sad and soft-spoken. But he does, when Trevor's like, okay, we gotta fuck these guys up, he's like, okay, well, we don't have any other choice. So they see, like, someone banging on the door. And then they watch, because we're watching from their POV, the footsteps recede away from the door. They watch the feet on the other side of the door go away, because there's like a crack at the bottom of the door. They watch them go away. They hear the key jingling, fading away and moving along the side of the building. They hear this and they see this. And then Trevor, for some reason, is like, what the heck? And then crawls up to the door and puts his head under the door. And he's like, he's gone. I don't know what happened. And then they turn their head to the place where they heard the keys jingling to. And they're like, what the heck? Mr. Jingles is in the window now. And I'm like, you heard him walk over there. What do you mean? He has a terror radius. You heard the keys the whole time. You knew he would be there. And this is 2 for 2 of someone punching through a window to get in because they couldn't get through the front door. I mean, it's a kind of high up door too that you would only expect, I don't know, someone of Mr. Jingles' stature to be able to reach. That will be relevant in a few minutes. And they're like, oh no, that's Mr. Jingles. And he throws in a bag of lit fire and what will be revealed to be poop.
Dog turds.
Yeah.
Or human turds. Sorry, it's human turds, actually.
Human turds.
I've traditionally seen this done with dog turds, where you leave it on someone you don't like's doorstep and then ring the doorbell and run away. Yeah.
Well, this is unhinged that it's not that, because that is what, like, everybody does. Everybody in their world who wants to do the, hey, you're going to step on a fiery bag and there's going to be poo inside, uses dog poo. Because it's gross enough to, like, take dog poo and put in a bag. But you know what's even grosser? Well, we've alerted to how they've made their little prank happen.
Yeah, also, you usually, like, leave it on the front porch. You don't chuck it in, like, a Molotov cocktail.
That is a crazy move for a prank. Yeah. So just to be clear, this is going to be a quote-unquote prank. Breaking someone's window and throwing in a flaming bag of dog shit is a crazy prank.
That's
beyond the veil of acceptable prank behavior. Like, that's attempted arson, bro.
We're going to find out, actually, in a moment. Hey, that's not even dog shit. It's human shit. One of the humans fucking shit. God damn it.
In a lot.
Like, yeah, stored it up. Which is like, why do you need that much? What's wrong with you? What, like, go see a GI doctor. You should have enough in one. Like, get out of here.
So before the reveal of this, we don't know that it's a prank yet. Neither do the people inside. They have him, like, chuck the person who is Mr. Jingles, quote unquote, chuck the flaming bag of shit inside, but we just think it's like a Molotov cocktail. This is a literal plot point in The Devil's Rejects, The Collector, and House of Wax, where the killer is like, uh-oh, I can't get into where I want to kill the people. What am I going to do? And so they set the building on fire so that their targets have to come outside. That's like a plot from a lot of horror movies, like a whole bunch of them.
And like war in history of smoking them out or like hunting. Yeah. That's like a thing. Yeah.
It is like, unfortunately for the writers of the show, not an original idea. It's crazy that in 5 seconds from now, we're going to find out that's not even what's happening. It's a quote unquote prank by some teens. I'm shrugging. They look like they're like 40 years old.
And I quote, fucking townies, yeah. I guess.
Which, what does that mean? Because the whole group of people who are there are all from fucking LA. So what the fuck are they talking about? Anyway.
That's a good point, actually, now that you mention it.
Like, what do you mean, like, townies? Are you guys like cowboys now? Like, what the fuck are you guys talking about?
So Trevor runs up and stomps out the turd bag because he knows, like, hey, I'm not going to let the serial killer burn my cabin and force me to get serial killed. And then they go like, oh, what the fuck? It's dog shit. And then they decide, like, fucking, we're running outside. And they find out there are two people outside. And this is where I got madder than I think I've been at American Horror Story in like a solid 4 seasons. Because it is revealed here that these are two teens dressed up as Mr. Jingles celebrating the local famous holiday of Mr. Jingles Day, where they go out and prank people dressed up as Mr. Jingles. Mr. Jingles was nobody. He was a random guy who came back from a war and like killed 5 teens and got locked up, and it was very sad. Like, that's the end of his influence. He wasn't Michael Myers. He wasn't Jason Voorhees. He wasn't showing up in people's dreams and killing them. He was just a guy who killed some teens, and it was not a good time. This is so crazy to have them be like, oh yeah, he's the world's most famous serial killer. Whenever anyone thinks of serial killers they want to fantasize being, it's Mr. Jingles, because he's just a big bald guy with the limp. And the other fucking thing, the masks that they put on, because they're fully dressed up like Mr. Jingles in a big raincoat and a mask that looks exactly like him today. Why does it look like him today?
He's always looked like that.
And hair coming around the sides. If he was a famous serial killer like 20 goddamn years ago, why is the mask like him fucking today?
He's always looked like that. He was born looking like that. He looked like that as a baby. Even he's always, my thing is, how do you guys know what he was wearing, like, when he did the murders? He wasn't like wearing a costume when he did the murders. Like, in fact in the flashback we see, he's just wearing like a jumpsuit, he's just wearing a janitorial outfit. So like, I don't know where this universally agreed upon costume came from, where everybody just happens to be dressed like him. Insane.
Jingle Con, they like set it all up. There was like a,
it's so true.
Was a battle.
True. So
it's
real.
It's just like, I was gonna ask, because I haven't seen the Scream films, but like, isn't this like a backporting of like a Scream plot point of like, at some point in the Scream films, the problem is everyone has the fucking ghost face?
Yeah, it's the second movie.
So it's just impossible.
So here's the thing.
It's the what?
It's the second movie. So here's the thing.
Okay.
I believe me. This is why I wanted to split the episode in two parts, because this part in particular really, really fucking pissed me off. So first of all, just the premise that these guys are for whatever reason, dressed as a real life man who killed real people in their universe. They're dressed up as a real guy in their universe and doing a funny prank day called Jingles Day, and that's like not Ty making a funny prank. They say that it's called Jingles Day, and it's like
they
a
show
tradition.
Up and say, jingle jingle, happy jingle day, douchewads.
Can you imagine? Can you fucking imagine if like there was a day where people are like, haha, it's Dahmer Day, and then you slash somebody's tires? Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, literally, what the fuck are you talking about?
You might say, slash their tires, isn't that a little ridiculous? Bro, they just broke a window in a cabin
and
in the middle
shit,
of a mountain.
And threw shit into a cabin.
Their own shit.
Yeah, and you, like, and you might be thinking what I thought, which is because these kids are about to be like, oh, why are you so mad? This is a tradition. Don't you guys know about Jingles Day? And I'm like, okay, that's maddening enough. You might be thinking what I was thinking, which is the camp hasn't been open for like 20 years. What do you mean a tradition?
It's like a plot point.
Yeah. Like, who are you doing this to? And then they're like, no, the kids in town, they do it to, like, restaurants and, like, stores. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? What the actual fuck are you talking about? Imagine if you were just eating at, like, a Denny's, and then a bunch of kids came in and were like, honk, honk, it's fucking Ted Bundy Day, and they're just wearing, like, a polo and slacks, and then they start flipping tables over. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Oh,
fucking
my fucking
Ted
God.
Bundy Day. I hate it.
It's like a really confusing purge. Just like, yeah. The only crimes that are legal are like high vandalism.
Guys, yeah. I want to go back to Goosey Night, okay? I'm sorry.
Yeah, sorry. I'm not really into Bundy Day, turns out.
I thought this was Al Bundy, okay? I'm sorry. From Parent of Children, Al. God damn it.
I was going to date the one-eyed chick from Futurama. It's going to be great.
Yeah. So that's one thing that I'm like, what the fuck do you mean it's a tradition? Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Then if we roll it back a bit, just as a whole, the premise of like, oh, these people are dressed as like the killer of the thing, and so it's going to be confusing for the main cast because they're also being chased by the real killer, and it's going to be super confusing. That is a ripoff of Halloween. It's a ripoff of Scream, and I'm sure it is a ripoff of other movies. I know it happens in Sorority Row too, but like in Halloween, in the first movie, there is, this is not, this is unfortunately a plot hole to of Halloween.
It just feels like a natural thing to occur from the genre conventions, right? Is like, if you have a movie one and you play it up as it's this like awesome serial killer that was like super cool and everyone like was scared of it and everything, it's kind of natural that like the second film will be like, people are trying to do that to scare other people. Like, it kind of makes sense, right? But it's just like, and here, you ready to hear something fucking crazy come out of my mouth? I think if this was Twisty the Clown, I would be more accepting of it.
Yeah.
That would make a lot more sense.
Yeah.
Well,
if nothing else, Twisty is like a character we've seen. So at least it's like, all right, you know what? Like, it's for the American Horror Story fans. It's something. Mr. Jingles is fucking no one. And then they have the balls to be like, but he's so popular. This original character we've made, you guys. You got to believe me. Like, people dress up in him.
The real guy in their universe. The real guy. Mr. Jingles is not like a character from a movie in their universe. It's just a man. Which, going back to what I was saying about Halloween, again, this is unfortunately a plot hole in Halloween to me, but in the first Halloween movie, like the very, very first one, Dr. Loomis really fucking wants to kill Michael Myers. He's like, I don't give a fuck what happens to anybody around me. I'm killing Michael Myers. And he is like being held back by a bunch of cops who are like, you gotta fucking chill, brother. You're scaring the hoes. And he's like, no. And then he sees a teenager walking down the street who just so happens to be dressed the exact same as Michael Myers, which Michael Myers is not like an established look at this point. He has not done crimes dressed as this. He just happens to be wearing a William Shatner mask and a jumpsuit. That's not like his uniform. So this guy who happens to also be wearing a jumpsuit and a William Shatner mask, wild coincidence. But that kid gets fucking smoked by Dr. Loomis because he thinks it's Michael Myers, which, you know what? Fair enough to Dr. Loomis, because why would that kid be dressed the same as Michael Myers? It doesn't make any sense. Now, with that being said, going to Scream, I would like to remind everybody, because this is critical, this literally happens in Scream 2. In Scream 2, and moving forward from the first movie, the first Scream movie, there is an in-universe fictionalized version of what happened to Sydney and her friends called Stab. It is a movie franchise. It is based on what happened to Sydney and her friends in the first movie. It is not like They're not like, I'm dressed as the real Ghostface. They're dressed as the characters from Stab, who are also Ghostface. And so there is a movie franchise that is wildly popular in that universe called Stab. I would also like to remind everybody listening, in case you haven't seen Scream, that Scream is a parody movie. Scream is literally a parody of horror movies, but it is done in a clever way where it is still a horror movie and still has, like, likable characters, and it's not just, like, jokes.
It's not this, right?
It's not this.
Yeah.
It is very much so. So the fact that they have, like, oh, yeah, in our universe, like, this was so, like, famous and infamous what happened to Sydney that they made a movie about it called Stab, and then everybody fucking loved it, and they become super popular. And so then there is a movie premiere where they hand out ghost face masks, and the whole audience puts on the ghost face masks because they're watching Stab. And that leads to the confusion when the real Ghostface shows up and starts killing the main characters, because you're like, uh-oh, which one is the real Ghostface? But it is, A, part of a movie that is a parody of other horror movies, and then B, makes sense, because in that universe, there is a fictional version of the happenings, in the same way that Texas Chainsaw Massacre is quote unquote based on a true story of Ed Gein. Like, this is the same thing, where, like, Stab is based on the story of what happened to Sydney and her friends in the first movie. So those people aren't dressed as the real people who did real murders. They're dressed as the characters from Stab. So it's a meta on top of a meta. There's, like, a reason why it happens. It's not just, like, a random thing.
And all they would have had to do to, like, fix that is show us at any point, like, a movie of Mr. Jingles that, like, really upsells him and that kind of thing, right? Like, that's all they have to do. If they show a single clip of just, like, oh, that's the Mr. Jingles movie, and it, like, really pisses Margaret off, then it'd be like, okay, sure, why not? But
she's, like, she's so tilted. She's just watching it and mauling. Yeah, it's fucking baffling. And then also, just going back to the premise, fuck everything about, like, it's tradition and whatever, just the premise of there being a happy Jingles Day, because they're like, it's the anniversary of when he killed all these people. I'm like, what the fuck do you mean? That only, like, matters if he killed, like, people on a specific day and it happened, like, reoccurring. If it happened on one day, it's just a day. Like, it's not, like, a thing. The reason Halloween is called Halloween is because he fucking kills people on Halloween, and the first time he killed someone, it was on Halloween. Friday the 13th was ripping off Halloween, which is why they named it Friday the 13th, and they had to really fucking stretch by being like, oh, it's called Friday the 13th because the movie takes place on Friday, June 13th, 1979, which actually wasn't a fucking Friday. They were so desperate to make it be, like, a special day that they had to make it in that universe that it happened on a Friday, which is not what Friday the 13th. They could have just picked a month where it did happen on a Friday, but they did not for some reason.
Who's got the time for that? I'm making movies here. Come on.
Yeah, they're like, nobody's going to look at a calendar and check to see if Friday the 13th happened in June.
If there's any fans that aren't going to dig too deep into the movies, it's horror fans. I think we'll be good.
You would fucking think so. But anyway, that's why the movies are called, respectively, Halloween and Friday the 13th. Because they happen on, allegedly, certain Halloween days. Yeah. Like, specific days.
Yeah.
That dude just killed a bunch of teens on a random day at a summer camp. It's not like Jingles Day, where he's like, yo ho ho, it's Jingles Day, this is when I go jingling. Like, it's nothing. It's just a day. It's
commence
just a fucking day.
There we go.
They're like acting like it's 9/11, which honestly would be so much funnier if they threw a flaming bag of shit through the window and then they open the door and they're like, happy 9/11.
Honestly, never forget. That's the other thing. It's like, again, this happened. Like, they're going to be like, oh, our group is going to be like, you stupid fucking townies. And I'm like, listen, I grew up in a really small town, like a really small town. I had like less than 400 people in it. And in that small town, when I was like 10 years old, one of the cashiers, everybody knows everybody in town. So, like, everybody knew this lady. One of these ladies who worked at this store in town, the only store, got fucking brutally murdered by her husband in a very insane way. Like, a very notable, insane way. And it was the talk of the town, parentheses negative, for like 3 years. Everybody would not stop talking about it because of how fucking crazy it was. We did not, I will say what happened. He beat her to death with a shillelagh. That is exactly what happened. Like, a shillelagh specifically. We did not all dress up like that guy and be like, it's shillelagh time. Like, that's not what we did. That wasn't like a thing we thought was cool.
You can't be making me laugh at a real murder of a real woman by saying shillelagh
you
a
think,
bunch.
Oh, you You're think that's bad? Dog. This is the fucking part where I'm like, thank God I know what the word shillelagh is. And I can like flex internally. Like, yay. Thank you, Beyond Zork. But, you know. But
that's, and I'm over here just like, please stop saying shillelagh. I'm going to corpse.
But that's what I mean. That's what I'm saying is like, that's, it was like a, it wasn't funny, but it was like such a thing of like, what do you mean he beat her to death with a shillelagh? What are you talking about? Like,
just
that's not
club.
Real. Nobody does
you
that.
Can't
like,
do
what
that.
Do you mean?
You can't make the guy like, yeah.
And we still didn't, we still weren't like, it's shillelagh time. Like, we were just like, yeah, it's fucked up that she got killed. We were like, it was a shillelagh. Like, when we would talk about it, like, when the townsfolk would talk about it, we would make sure that you knew that it was via shillelagh because that is an insane thing to have happened. But we didn't, like, make a joke out of it.
You get so few opportunities to use the word shillelagh, you know? So yeah. It's like, you gotta, you do your, I get it, right? But like,
it's also just like, most people would just say a walking stick.
Yeah.
I think,
yeah.
At this point.
Blunt,
yeah.
Blunt object. You know, you don't even need to really go specific.
It, like, honestly, if I was the ghost of the woman who died, I would be like, they keep fucking saying shillelagh. Just say walking stick. Come on.
Yeah. He was like super Irish. That's why everybody was like, it's a shillelagh.
Oh, that'll do it. Yeah.
Oh, I like, bet. I bet it like wasn't
a,
even
if
that.
If it was Italian, beat him with a pizza peel. That's
yeah.
Good.
I bet it was really like a fucking rolling pin or something. And they're like, oh, Seamus, you and that shillelagh again. He's like, ah.
He's always getting up to this. He's we should have known. He always had it on him. He always had that shillelagh on him. Ugh. Yeah. So anyway, it was fucking kids. It was fucking fake. It was not real. We made it up. Call me Jonathan Frakes the way we made it up.
So the idea of this being like a recurring theme that they come up to the camp that wasn't open to scare the kids that aren't there, I might add. These are just the counselors. So it's like even crazier that they came up today to be like, let's scare some kids. Like, ah, shit, there's no kids. Eh, let's do it anyway. Fuck it. It's tradition. Mr. Jingles Day only comes once a year, I guess.
Oh, look, there's some counselors here. Well, when life gives you lemons, you know, get the shit bag ready, I suppose.
Also, they've, like, I'm assuming these kids have, like, I say kids again, they look like they're fucking 40 years old, but, like, They have to have, like, staked out what's going on. That way they knew that they would be in that cabin or whatever. They had to be, like, watching. Like, they didn't see these people, like, running for their lives, like, from, like, danger.
Yeah.
Like,
what would have happened if they pounded on the door and then they just went and opened the door?
Oh.
And were like, what?
I bet they saw Richard Ramirez kill Jonas. They're like, that guy's not even dressed up, right?
He's like, what a loser. He's wearing the wrong costume. That guy's wearing the wrong costume. Oh my God. Yeah.
I see someone who never attended Jingle Con. Yeah, but like.
Yeah, it was his first year.
After the dumb reveal that there is a Jingles Day that we now have to put up with, I fucking guess. The real Mr. Jingles just shows up in the distance and is jingling. And then the three go, oh, shit, we should go. And then the real Mr. Jingles, like, stabs one of them. And then cuts his ear off. The end. Cool.
Yippee. Yeah. So he wanders up. Mr. Jingles, who is not like, I wouldn't say he's not like abnormal. Like, if I had seen this guy, he's just a guy. To be clear, just a guy. Doesn't wear a mask. Isn't wearing like a uniform or anything. He's just a guy in a raincoat. Like, he's a slightly larger than average man, like, slightly larger than average, but he's not, like, Shaq size, where you're like, holy fuck, that's a big dude. He's just, like, a kind of big guy, I guess.
He doesn't look like a horror movie villain, like, at all, you know?
No, he looks like a janitor. He looks like a janitor that, like, does janitor stuff.
Yeah.
He looks like the guy who got his stapler taken away in Office Space.
Yeah.
Kind of. Like, he's got, like, that vibe to him.
Yeah.
Can Milton, I say something? This is, I don't know.
Milton
hot,
Jingles.
Hot take. Yeah? This is probably the least credible of all of my criticisms of this season.
Yeah.
But it is my personal opinion, I guess.
Yeah, give me that petty shit.
You a gamer.
Having the main antagonist, quote unquote, Mr. Jingles, have thick ass glasses, which indicates that he can't fucking see shit without them, makes him 100% less scary. Because I'm just ripping those bad boys off his face. I'm ripping those bad boys right off his face. They're thick. They're thick glasses.
And it does start coming up around here. Mr. Jingles will randomly will or will not have a limp. And I think they thought it made him like look more menacing up front. But it doesn't. That's a wound that makes you slower and have less balance and be less threat. Like if a guy starts limping at me and I'm like fit as a fiddle and ready to jog, I'm like, oh, I'm going to jog 6 miles. This bitch is done. He can't keep up with
that's why he needed the Caltrops.
What's it going to limp for 6 miles? Good luck, buddy. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Also, it doesn't really like explain like why he's limping. Cause like he didn't have the limp before. So the implication is that like he got like hurt or something and that's why he's limping.
It just turns on and off.
Yeah.
Like every other scene. Yeah. It just turns on and off. I think they were just like, ooh, yeah, walk in a menacing way. And then on another scene, they were just like, yeah, do what you do.
Yeah.
I just forgot.
Cause like we see him like walking. Cause when he comes up to Dr. Hopple's fucking car, like he's not limping. He just walks up to her car and is like, fine.
He
and nothing
put on,
happens.
Like, a spike trap, right? Yeah, like I mean, he's like ambulatory as far as we know. Like, there's nothing wrong with him.
Also, to be clear, some of the times when he has his limp, it's not like I hurt my leg or I'm having like a really bad cramp or like I have something like that. Like, it's not like a temporary limp. It's like fully his leg is pivoted like 60 degrees internally. Like he has like a severe, he has like a severe like valgus angle on one of his legs and it's fully just like dragging behind him. It's like a, this is something from birth kind of. Honestly, it's a, you would not be able to get into the army kind of limp.
Right.
Like it is like fully, you don't get to get into the services. Sorry, man.
But yeah. Mr. Jingles,
you're welcome.
He looks kind of like he's had a very stoic Mr. Belvedere sat on his own ball style of injury, just the way he looks and stuff, you know? So
he walks like a pirate character in like a pirate movie who has a peg leg, like a person who doesn't have a peg leg but like thinks they do have a peg leg for like the film, like that's how he walks. And also, like, I guess you could say that like, oh, like the implication is that he got like injured in the war or whatever, but like they don't tell us that. And also he didn't have the limp 5 minutes ago in movie time or in show time, so like that doesn't really mean anything to anybody. Also, it does make him less scary overall as a concept. Is I don't think that's
actually,
I don't think that's anything. I don't think this is anything.
No, you know, actually, the thing with Twisty we mentioned before, besides knowing, like, he looks scary. Like, Twisty works because he's a big guy. Same actor, by the way, too.
Same actor, yeah.
He's got the big, he's got the fuck off, like, dirty clown suit and, like, every, you know what I mean? Like, it just works. Mr. Jingles is a guy in a trench coat, and he's got glasses and a limp and a big, stupid mustache. Like, it, and he's kind of bald. Like, it just doesn't work. Like, he's
he
just
talks,
not
too.
Anything.
He just regular style talks, like, just a regular man, which also is not scary. Just everything about him is not scary.
I think that is like the biggest mistake. That is the one that's just like unsalvageable. Like if he never spoke, you could just be like, okay, all right, you know, he's doing the quiet still waters thing, sure, why not, like you don't know what's going on up there, so it could be a lot worse than you imagine. But he opens his mouth constantly and half the time he's just like, I'm just a regular man.
High fructose corn syrup, you know? He'll say that later. He'll say high fructose corn syrup, and he'll say it just like that. I'm not joking, by the way. That's like a real thing that guy is going to say.
No, he really is just like, he's like, I blame aspartame for my lack of attention.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, man, that's not a hard thing to say.
Red Dye 40 made me a serial killer or something.
I don't think Jason Voorhees would ever be like, I think too much high fructose corn syrup has made men's balls small.
My mom ate too much tuna while she was pregnant with me and I got mercury poisoning in the womb or whatever. Yeah. Baffling. So
fucking Mike Myers takes off the mask and just goes, all right, let's talk about methylene blue.
Oh my God. Honestly, you know what? Michael Myers gets the pass on that. He's the only one that gets the pass on that. Everybody else is on thin fucking ice. So this is like really stereotypical of like the two guys who are dressed as Mr. Jingles being like, oh, what the? This guy is, you showed up late. We already did the pranking. And I'm like, you guys know so much about Mr. Jingles and you don't know that he's like a 9 foot tall man. Like, that's not the biggest giveaway that that's the real guy, is that he's nine
also,
feet tall.
You're wearing a mask that is agonizingly accurate to this man.
Yeah. It is really funny. They all have, that's the thing is, can you imagine people walking around in Ted Bundy masks throwing shit on people's front porches? What are you fucking talking about, Jingles Day? What are you fucking talking about?
Actually, you pointed out something. You just made me realize thing too. How the fuck do you get a Mr. Jingles mask? Who's printing that? Like, who's making it?
Big market. Big market for right? Photorealistic, yeah. Hyper-realistic, real face masks of this guy. Do you think he licensed that out, like his likeness? Because it is his likeness. It is like 100% his face.
And it's like a Halloween mask, you know? Like a fucking like rubber mask you put on. Like,
Usually when you do like serial killers or criminals of some fashion in like a face mask that's very realistic, it's like a caricature of a, like a president, for example, or like an actor, and it's like an unpainted, unfinished actor's mask or something like that. Not just like an actual man who killed some kid's face. That's crazy, bro.
And again, we say this like so often. We talk about this so often on this show of like, if they had just changed this one thing, it would have made their life a lot easier as writers, and also it would be less fucking stupid. Just don't fucking show his face. If he's got this like outfit that everybody knows of, like this raincoat and like this obscured face until he takes the hood off, just don't have him take the hood off, so that when the characters are like harassing, when the teens are harassing these people, they just have the hoods up and then they pull the hoods down and be like, hee hee, it's just a prank, we have regular people faces, instead of having to make them pull off these hyper realistic human masks and be like, we're dressed as Mr. Jingles. Just always have his face obscured by the hood that you already fucking have him wearing. It's that easy.
No. Everybody in this town has a $275 Mr. Jingles mask and a $300 trench coat. They all opened up a magazine page that said steel is fit, and they're like, you bet.
Yeah. Like one of those memes that's like, this outfit can be yours, and it's like, a trench coat, $30, fake knife, $5, hyper-realistic Mr. Jingles mask, $1,175.
Yeah, my favorite one of those is for May Guilty Gear. It's just like a certain hoodie, $75, nice hat, nice shoes, and then a ship's anchor, $35,000.
Yeah, just that, but it's a real man. I cannot believe I'm saying this. The opening sequence plays. The opening sequence plays now.
Yeah.
All this has been leading up to the opening sequence.
There's like a lot happens in this episode, but I think none of it comes anywhere near as close to maddening as deciding Mr. Jingles is like a famous known guy, but then not like retrofitting it so he has a movie or like did more crime or something, right? Like it's he just killed, like this would just be like if someone who randomly like shot four kids was like the most famous serial killer of all time and also like a movie character and not a real man. It's like hard to explain because it's so fucked. Like as soon as you think about it for a second, it's kind of hard not to run into some way that it's fucking crazy.
Yeah, it is one of those things. And it's one of those things where like, if you think about it, like practically from the perspective of like, if it was happening in universe, like we kind of do have like that in real life. Like people will, very tasteless people will dress up as like the Columbine shooters. And people hate them. People hate people that do that because it's fucked up and gross. They wouldn't be like, yippee, it's the day we dress up like the Columbine guys and throw poop at people's houses. Like, that's not a thing that would happen. They would get the shit beat out of them, like, forever. Like, especially if you did it. If you did it in the city where it had happened, they would beat the fuck out of you. They would beat you fucking senseless if you tried that shit where it had actually happened. Like, it's insane. Yeah, it's insane to think about this happening in real space. Yeah.
I think, like, if someone tried to pull some shit like this in, like, Chicago, for example, or even just, like, Lowell outside of Chicago, yeah, no, you would immediately get your ass beat. Absolutely. It would be a thing of, like, one person would walk out and be like, hey, man, that's not funny and that's not okay here. And if you, like, tried to talk back, all of a sudden it would be seven people. Right, and then very quickly you would either decide to go or you would be found in a cornfield soon. Like, very beaten up. Yeah.
Yeah. So that is up to the opening sequence. That was one of the five twists. We still have four twists to go. And there, this is, I would say, like, out of all, this is the most infuriating twist of, like, oh, this is just some guys who happen to be dressed as the real man, Mr. Jingles. Somehow the least egregious of all of the twists, I would say. The tamest. Yeah. It's the dumbest, but it is the tamest because it's the one that affects the plot the least. Because these characters are nothing. Impactful. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just annoying more than anything.
Buckle the fuck up. Yeah. Because
Jesus Christ. Are you ready to have to call a character a different name for the rest of the show? Because I'm not. It's really annoying when I have to write the notes about this character.
We're going to have to change a character's name. We're going to have to change a character's, like, whole motivation. We're going to have to change whether or not a character can, like, do stuff with his arms cut up. There's so many things coming into the next part.
We're going to we're gonna violate the Geneva Convention at one point. It's a lot.
True. Mm-hmm. We're just going to hit some dude from that shit from the Most Dangerous Game. We're just going to Most Dangerous Game a character, which is nuts, man. It's so crazy. And also we're going to get to eventually see Richard Ramirez show up and presumably cock it up, I think. It's unclear what he's trying to do.
What if? Listeners, hear me out. What if we put Richard Ramirez in a love triangle?
What if we did that?
Oh my God, that is what it is now that I think about. Oh. Yeah, actually.
Hear me out.
Oh no, bro. He's a real serial killer who killed real people, bro. No, bro.
Stinky. He was stinky. Like, above all else, he was stinky.
He was a stinky real man who killed presumably less stinky real people.
He's got that attractive musk, I guess, that, like, somebody can't resist, I suppose. Is this anything? I
cover myself in horse pheromones, Brooke.
Do you like this? Do you like this, Brooke?
Oh, man. Oh, God, every time he's near, I swear, it smells like a 4-H convention.
Smells like someone stepped on a flaming bag of dog shit in here. No, that's just Richard Ramirez.
It's just Richard. Well, thank you all so much for listening. And look forward to the next episode where we get to all of that stuff and more Jingles content. Thank God. Thank God. More Jingles content. Till next time, everybody. Have a great night.
Bye.